This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Money Manager Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Thursday, January 8th, 2015 edition of Invest Talk. And today we're going to talk about tactics for combating low bond yields. What are people doing out there? We have very low yields, historic low yields in a lot of cases. And beginning of 2014, the 10-year Treasury bond was yielding about 3%. And almost everybody thought, well, that was going to continue higher, right? Because you had the taper tantrum in mid-2013, which started the rise in interest rates and all the way to the end of the year. And pretty much from the beginning of 2014, bond prices or bond yields started to fall. And so we are combated once again with extremely low interest rates, and makes it very hard for people to get a return on their fixed income portfolio, and it's worrisome, I think, for a lot of people that are retired, that are looking for steady income streams, and also those that are just looking to diversify their portfolio and strike a balance between equities and bonds, but still have some upside potential, right? Or enough upside potential to make worthwhile. So we're going to talk about that coming up on the show, and I think that will be very, very interesting. Now, I welcome you to this Thursday, January 6th edition of InvestTalk. We come together every weekday on radio, online, on InvestTalk.com, and also through our podcast stream to our tens of thousands of podcast listeners. Actually, we're approaching 100,000 podcast listeners nowadays, and we know that they're all ready to listen and ask their questions, and I hope you do too. And all of you are invited to take part in the program by submitting your questions or comments on the phone via email, or you can send us a message if you follow us on Twitter at KPP Financial. And we're here for the people who want to get rich for the long term, the kind of wealth that a person comes by over over many years, not in a month or a week. There's no magic formula to this investing thing. There are some folks out there who may present an idea that's guaranteed just to knock you out with money, right? And make huge promises. But we make no such promises. We just try to arm you with the knowledge and hopefully the expertise. It's kind of a combination. Expertise is a combination of experience. We obviously can't give you that. And know-how, and then the knowledge base, right, to gather from, right? The know-how is how to use that knowledge, and the know-how and the experience, that's something that comes with time, and we obviously try to help you with that, and get you as far along the process as possible, as quickly as possible, because we all know we want to start making money sooner rather than later. Now, there is a level of risk that is at the basis of every investing strategy. No matter what you're putting your money into, there is some type of risk. I understand that. There's no riskless investment out there. Even treasuries, you know, you still have interest rate risk, right? You still have inflation risk. Is there credit risk? Most people don't think there's credit risk. It probably is very little credit risk. But you have to understand, no matter what you're invested in, there's some type of risk. Because you never get something for nothing. So an investor has to put their money at risk. And the more risk you can stand, the higher the potential for gain. Notice I say potential. And there's always ways you can put your money at great risk with very slim chance of gaining anything. And a lot of people do that. not understanding what they're investing in. So that's why the wise investor follows in the footsteps of the great investors, you know, the legendary investors who never expect to get rich quick. No legendary investor believes it's easy. This is easy. That you just do these one, two, three things and boom, you're going to get rich. Well, if they don't think that, then why do other people think that? It's crazy. There's many people that do. So what you have to do is do your homework, practice discipline, and build your fortunes. And the first step in addressing risk is to learn about yourself. How much are you comfortable taking? Now, Steve and I have been telling you about our risk analysis tool powered by Riskalyze that we send to all of our new clients. And what we do is we send it to our clients to take a short quiz, which is a risk assessment. It takes 3 minutes tops, which allows each person to understand their risk capacity and issues you a number 0 to 99. You can do this right on our website. It leverages Nobel Prize winning economic research, and this tool helps us gauge whether your current portfolio fits your risk profile and investment needs. It takes just minutes to complete, like I said. Then if you wish, we will take those results and then we'll utilize them and build out a retirement map to give you a more comprehensive look at your financial situation. This process allows you to understand the potential of taking a little more risk or whether you'd be more comfortable reducing your risk you're currently taking, because sometimes that's also an issue. I see this a lot where people have a lot of money and they have goals, but they have plenty of money for those goals, but they're still investing aggressively and they're not acting conservatively. So the big question is, are you taking the appropriate risk? You know, some people need to take less risk. Some people should probably take more risk. Some people just need to save more. So there's a lot of variables that go into it. Now, give it a try. Go to investtalk.com. Look at the blue box in the left hand, a little bit down from the top. It says free risk analysis tool. Now, let's get to the phones now. Get your voice in the mix. Here's a call from our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART. It's ready to catch your question anytime.
Yeah, hi, this is Tony in Cupertino. Question for you on the healthcare industry. It's done very well for the last 2 years. Do you think this is going to continue for 2015? Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right, healthcare industry is going to continue in 2015. You know, this is a very interesting area of the marketplace. It has done very well, and the story behind the healthcare industry right now is that a lot of the countries that are historically have been poor, right, the emerging market countries and the like, they're starting to become wealthier, and they're instituting health programs in their country, and they're spending more money on healthcare because they have the capacity to. Right, and this is opening a brand new market for a lot of drug companies. So that's the upside. That's the upside that you're expanding. It's not just America anymore and Europe. It's really around the globe. There's a lot more spending capacity for spending on drugs and medical devices and things like that. And then you have a dramatic increase in the number of people that are over 60, 65 years old. That number is growing very fast because of baby boomers here and abroad. So you have those are the positives. Well, what are the negatives when it comes to the healthcare industry? Well, the first is the development of drugs. It's become astronomically more expensive to develop drugs, because a lot of times in today's day and age, they're biological drugs as opposed to chemical drugs, which biological drugs are a lot more difficult to manufacture, to do research development for. They're just more expensive to operate with overall. And so there's increasing costs there. And you're seeing a lot of scrutiny now from the big governments of how much they're spending on these I say welfare programs, but their health care programs, like, you know, think about here in America, Medicare, Medicaid, the growth in the cost of that has just been, I don't want to say astronomical, but been very high, right? And that's squeezing budgets around the country and really around the world. And there's a lot more scrutiny of how much drug companies are charging for their drugs. And so that started, you've seen that with the likes of Gilead Sciences and their drug, that hepatitis C drug, it costs $1,000 a day. And there was a pharmaceutical provider that decided to cut their support for that drug and went to a competitor's drug. And there's scrutiny from Congress and how much they're spending on drugs from Gilead and other companies. So there's a lot of scrutiny, and so you're seeing there's a wider net now of people that are needing drugs all around the world, but it seems like there's some cost pressures from the production side and the sales side. So the big question is it which one wins over the long term? And I think the growth will win over the long term, but I think you are likely going to see a setback, right? You're going to see big scrutiny from the from governments and from companies that are having to pay the high cost of pharmaceutical drugs to these pharmaceutical companies, and you're going to get a scare at some point. Is that going to happen this year? Well, the momentum is going that way. So I would say right now it's kind of an expensive sector in a lot of ways. Could it continue higher? Sure, it could. And technically, you know, the healthcare space hasn't really had a big setback, so it's still technically looks pretty good. So the momentum on a technical perspective is there, but you're starting to see momentum with the cracks in the armor with the likes of Gilead and the like that are starting to hurt a little bit from the squeeze from government. So I think you over the long term, you will do well, but over the short to medium term, I think there will be some setbacks, but that will probably create a good buying opportunity. Now, if you follow us on Twitter, you can get your question or comments to us by sending us a message. The handle is at KPP Financial, or you can reach us anytime by phone at 888-99-CHART.
Why not sign up to be an InvestTalk insider? It costs nothing, and it puts you in line for some informational extras, from webinars to special info sheets from Steve. Why not sign up yourself? It's free on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Please get your call in sooner rather than later. Don't wait until the end of the hour to get your question answered, because sometimes we run out of time. Now, the ongoing drip drop downward of interest rates has sent fixed income investors scrambling in all different directions. And today we're going to talk about the tactics for combating low bond yields. What are people doing? Are they avoiding bonds altogether? Are they looking in other areas of the fixed income world, like bank loans and preferred shares? So we're going to discuss that and what might be the best option for people that are looking for yields, right? And then I also have a few other talking points that I want to touch on. One is about the housing market. First, the FHA is about to lower the cost of mortgage insurance for their loans from about 1.3% of the loan's value to about 0.85% of the loan's value. So that's a big drop, that's 50 basis point drop, 0.5% drop in the total loan value. So if you have a $500,000 loan, right, $500,000 loan, 1% of that would be $5,000, and half of that would be $2,500. So on a $500,000 loan, the person that's taking out that loan is going to save $2,500 from the mortgage insurance, but then there's interest involved in that, so even more money. Okay, so you could see a good amount people are going to save from paying less on mortgage insurance, and that's why you saw housing stocks do pretty well. But there's some threats from the housing market, and I'm going to touch on those as well. They kind of go hand in hand, see one side and the other. I also want to touch on Social Security changes for 2015, and then six things to do in January to prepare for tax time. So those are the topics that I have lined up for today, but ultimately I want to hear your questions. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now with your money topics on InvestTalk.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
Do we have a disadvantage, us investors, on the West Coast as opposed to the people that are closer to the action? They're right there in New York.
And what's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Justin right now on InvestTalk. We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Here's an invitation to become an InvestTalk Insider. If you were signed up, you'd already receive this month's economic and market forecast. It looks at the economy, U.S. equities, foreign equities, fixed income, commodities. It includes recommended portfolio weightings by sector, asset classes, and more. Sign up for free and be an InvestTalk Insider on InvestTalk.com.
Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Hi, Justin. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. What can I do for you?
Actually, I had a question on transferring like my part of my 401k while I'm working into like an IRA.
Yes.
Is that possible? Do you know?
How old are you?
Without tax. Well, actually, I wanted to do it when I'm 59 and a half, when there's no penalty.
Yeah, that's the only time you can do it. At 59 and a half, you can do that, but your 401k plan has to allow it. Some do not, some do. You have to check with your HR department, whoever's in charge of your 401k, and make sure that's a possibility. But yes, you can do it. It's called an in-service rollover. Ask them if you can do an in-service rollover.
Oh, okay. The other, I guess, to piggyback off of that question, if they don't allow it, is there a way to like take withdrawal, like let's say $50,000 out of my 401 and not get taxed because I put it into a 401k, or not a 401 but an IRA?
Yeah, you could. What you could do is you could take out the money from a 401k, not $50,000, but you know whatever you're going to put into an IRA. So you could take it out of the 401k. Right, and that's going to be income to you. But then, if you put it into an IRA, that you can write off that income, so there's no real, you know, major tax consequence. But you
right,
can't do a large sum. You can just do what the $5,000 limit. Well,
oh,
I guess you might have you might be able to do the catch up withdrawal or catch up contribution
right,
as well.
Yeah, I think that's $6,000 right now.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, you could do that, but you know, not $50,000.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Do you have a time for to look at a stock?
Sure. Which one?
I was looking at Disney, DIS.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually trying to wait to see if it'll come down into the upper 70s and possibly low 80s, because I think it's like, you know, in the 90s right now.
Yeah, I think that would be a much better buying opportunity in the high 70s, that's where I would be a buyer of Disney. But right now, it's a little expensive, a little overbought, and it does look like it's trying to roll over. It's still strong, don't get me wrong, it's still strong. But, you know, I wouldn't buy it until it gets into to mid to high 70s.
All right. Yeah, that's what I...
Thanks for calling, Art.
All right, thanks a lot, Justin.
No problem. Let's go to Dennis in San Jose. How you doing, Dennis?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Justin, for taking my call.
No problem. What can I do for you?
I just wonder if you think this is a good entry point for IBM. I've been watching it, and I thought it's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, it does have a lot of potential, and I think you know, their issues that they've been having. Obviously, IBM's been on some hard times since the beginning of last year, in the beginning of 2013, hit a high of about 215, and now is trading at about 158. as earnings are down, are starting to really flatline. They're down 3% year over year in 2014, only expect to go up 4% in 2015. So really flatlining, and revenues are falling at about a 2 to 4% clip quarter over quarter. And you know, that's kind of been the issue with them. It is cheap here. Could it get cheaper? I think it could. You know, I think 140 would be a great entry point. But this isn't bad either. I really am not. I don't think that there's a ton more downside, but there certainly could be more downside. I think it depends on your time horizon. Are you looking to hold this long term, or are you looking to make this as a trade?
No, hold it 4 or 5 years.
Okay, then yeah, I think this is a good entry point. And I maybe not put your whole position, but you know, maybe a third to a half right now, I think would be a good start.
What do you think? But you do agree it's a good entry point.
I wouldn't say it's a great entry point. I would say it's a good entry point. There's definitely a possibility for it to be a better entry point at some point this year. But I do think that I do think that it's a good entry point. But there could be a great one down the line. That's why I'd say only do about a third to a half of your position that you would take.
Okay. Can I ask you one more stock?
Sure. Quickly.
Yahoo.
You know, Yahoo's been doing great on the back of Alibaba, and you know, Alibaba's been kind of languishing, and I think Yahoo's a little overvalued. I'm not a big fan of it here. Revenue is still kind of having some trouble, and earnings are up because of the Alibaba. You know, they booked a lot of gains. Earnings supposed to fall 31% next year, and you're paying a 28% P ratio. I'm just not a big fan of Yahoo here.
So that's not a good entry point on Yahoo right now.
No, definitely not.
Well, thank you very much, Justin.
Thanks for calling, Dennis. Let's go to Dan in San Mateo. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I have a general question about getting a financial advisor to help me. And I wanted to know if this particular service exists in the industry. I tend to manage my own money. I like to have control of that. I have brokerage accounts, 401ks, IRAs, and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And instead of hiring someone to completely manage and take over all my accounts and that kind of thing, is it difficult, or does this service exist where you could sit down, pay someone $1,000 or whatever the fee is, and have them fine-tune your account, have them fine-tune your investment strategy?
Yeah, we're going to go to break real quick. Hold on, and I'm going to answer your question when we get back, okay? I'm Portfolio Manager Justin Klein, and I'm here to answer your money questions. You can reach us now, and we're live 4 to 5 Pacific Time. Give us a call if you'd like at 888-99-CHART. Get back and talk with Dan, and he asked this question before the break. He was asking about if there's a service where you pay a certain amount of dollar amount, and it sounds like you're looking for maybe a second opinion on your portfolio, your financial picture. Is that kind of what you're looking at?
Exactly, because I do my own investing, and I feel confident, but I'd like someone to give me the thumbs up, or maybe give me modifications, or ideas about how, while I'm still in my 30s, you know, maybe I can make some changes now before it's too late.
Yeah, there are certified financial planners, that will do that, and they charge a fee. The biggest issue with that is usually there's a lot of conflicts of interest in the financial planning world where, you know, financial planners say, okay, we think X amount percent of your money should go into, this type of investment, and this percent should go into that type of investment, and you should have this type of an insurance, and so on. And they will push you in those they will show you who to go to get that, right? And a lot of times there's a conflict of interest because there could be kickbacks and things like that. So that's kind of the biggest issue with going that route. I know Steve does those type of things all the time for our listeners. They send them their portfolio and usually send them that risk assessment to make sure that they are investing in line with their risk tolerance levels and what their needs are, and we do a full retirement map and things like that. So Steve does that, no charge or anything. So that could be an avenue to go down. But what it sounds like you're looking for is a certified financial planner. But like I said, there are some conflicts of interest to be worried about there.
Okay, and the guys like yourself, for example, you don't do an hourly kind of
We make money as a portfolio manager, and obviously you want to still manage your own portfolio. But you know, we still do this for clients, potential clients and listeners, and you know, it's we're not pushy or anything. We just do it, give you our opinion. If you want to, you know, you want us to manage a portion of your portfolio, great. If not, you know, then hopefully we gave you some good advice.
Okay, thank you.
No problem, Dan. Thanks for calling. Let's go to John in San Jose. How you doing, John?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good. What can I do for you?
Oh, quick question. You had mentioned about chasing yields or retirees looking at yields. What do you think of long-term duration California mini bonds?
Ooh, those are long duration. I'm not a big fan of long duration, especially when it comes to California. Our financial situation, our fiscal situation here in California is poor. And, you know, right now we're holding things together because, you know, we're in a bull market and the economy is doing okay. But, you know, every time we get into a recession, all of a sudden the capital gains tax that they're collecting from equity investors and homeowners suddenly shrivels up. There's employment falls, and therefore tax revenue from incomes goes down. And all of a sudden, they're in precarious positions, just like they were in 2008, 2009, 2010. And you know, right now, that's fine. You know, everything looks good, but over the long term, I think we're going to have some major defaults at some point in the muni bond market, and California is right up there with the biggest risky states, the highest risk states in the country. So if you're looking long term, I would not be looking at California muni bonds. Do you own them? Are you looking to buy them? What are you thinking, John?
I'm thinking of buying some of them as individual bond positions or through an ETF or a fund. So I haven't decided. I'm not in them right now, but
yeah.
I do need to get some yield. And so that's what I was looking at. So I kind of agree with you. I mean, the credit risk might be high down the line, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. So how about preferreds? How about ETFs like PFF?
Yeah, I think that's a better route to go. You know, you might, you probably will get, you know, that's a difficult one. That's more in line with the what happens in the corporate bond sector, what happens to the corporations. That's also can be volatile. But I think the munis have a bigger chance of a blow up, right? Or a big catastrophe, especially if you're just concentrated in California. Okay, so yeah. I think preferreds, they can obviously go down. You have a bear market, preferreds will go down. Like a PFF in the bear market went from 50 down to 15 at the low. So there's still a lot of risk there as well. It sounds like you're looking for that yield and you're trying to find a safe place to put it without taking a lot of risk. Right, John?
Yes, exactly. You got it. Yes.
And, you know, in this environment, it's hard. It is extremely hard. You know, I would look for something like high-grade corporate bonds. High-grade corporate bonds. That's where I would be putting my money if I'm looking for a yield and having something fairly safe. Now, there still can be volatility there, but you know, I think you're giving up a little bit of yield, but you're going to be much safer over time. Now, you know, funds are difficult because funds will move together with the overall market. We invest for our clients. We invest in bonds, but we invest in individual bonds for individual corporations, you know, companies we like, paid good yield, and they were held. We hold them to maturity, so there's never any there's loss of, you know, they fluctuate in value, but we always get the principal at the end as long as the bond doesn't default. So that I think is a better strategy. And I feel for you. It's hard to find good yield, but still safe. But if you're looking in the muni bond space, I would not be in California. And if you're looking for something in that's related to companies, like preferred shares are related to companies, I would go with high-grade corporate bonds.
I see. So even for munis, you won't go national, I mean, across the U.S., not concentrated in California, but how about national munis?
Yeah, that's a much better place to be for me, mainly because you're extremely diversified. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, you have 50 states with, you know, every state kind of has its own economy and in a lot of ways, and, you know, many states in the country weren't really that affected by the global financial crisis in 2008. Whereas in California and Arizona and Nevada and Detroit or Michigan and Florida, you know, those are the areas that were hurt bad, and because of the downturn in the housing market and the problems in the automobile sector in Detroit, and you know, when you're investing nationally, you're very, very diversified, and that's a much better way than just sticking with California.
All right, makes sense. Thanks a lot. I think that's a good perspective. Appreciate it.
No problem, John. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Now, our talking point today is just that. The tactics to combat low bond yields. And there's a lot of people like John out there that are looking for yield, and they don't want to take a lot of risk, right? That's the point of investing in fixed income, is you're not trying to take a lot of risk. But what the Fed is doing is forcing people to go out there on the risk spectrum, out there in the risk spectrum to get that yield. And you know, many people are venturing into multi-sector bond funds, bank loans funds, emerging market bond funds, just to name a few. But some people are shunning fixed income altogether, saying, "Well, I'm just sticking with companies that pay dividends. You know, dividend yielding equities, yield 3%, 4%, 5%, and that's not a bad way to go." My biggest worry when it comes to people doing, you know, finding dividends or looking for dividends in the stock market, is they look too high, meaning they look for the ones that are yielding 8, 9, 10, 12%. And honestly, that's not the way to go. It isn't. If something's yielding 8% in an environment where the 10-year treasury is at 2.2, do you think that 8% is fairly safe? What do you think? The answer is no. It's probably very risky. And that's why it's yielding 8%. If it was really safe, then guess what? A bunch of people would be out there buying it and driving those yields down, right? Price would go up, yield would go down to something in the safe zone. Now, are there diamonds in the rough? Sure. But you have to have good expertise to understand what those diamonds in the rough are. So to me, anything right now yielding over 5.5%, 6% makes me go, why is it yielding that much? Okay. So look for companies that are growing their dividends, but maybe they only yield in 1.5%, 2%. But what we have to realize is, if they're a growing company and they're already paying a dividend, well, a year from now, if their earnings are up 15%, do you think they possibly could raise their dividend 15%? Absolutely. So all of a sudden, that 1.5% goes up to about 1.7%. And then a year after that, if they grow their earnings another 10, 20%, that 1.7 all of a sudden becomes, you know, 1.9, and then 2, you know, you see how it grows. So you get price appreciation and you get dividend appreciation. Remember, stock dividends are variable. They can cut the dividend and they can increase the dividend. If they've increased the dividend over the past couple of years, and business is still relatively good, guess what? Odds of them increasing that dividend again are pretty good. It's not like a bond where you buy a bond, at least most bonds. Whatever that yield in that bond is, that's the yield you're getting. There's no upside to that yield. So don't shun the low dividend payers or the modest dividend payers. Look for companies that are growing and paying a modest dividend and have raised their dividend recently. Now, start the year off right by getting your retirement portfolio in shape. We were talking with Dan in San Mateo about his needs to get a good second opinion, and Steve can help with that. He schedules a few of these sessions a month. Might as well take advantage of them. We have two new dates for portfolio reviews in Southern California. Steve will be in San Diego County January 13th at our home office in Dana Point on January 15th. To save your hour, just go to investtalk.com and click on the schedule a meeting button. If you're out of the range of those locations, we also schedule meetings via Skype, FaceTime, or even in telephone.
Choosing the right investment products, adjusting to life's surprise events. If it's about money and it's important to you, we want to know more about it. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve or Justin right now on InvestTalk.
Let's go to Nag in San Diego. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well. What can I do for you?
Yeah. I want to know your opinion on your stock, RIG, R-I-G, RIG.
Okay. You're looking at Transocean. This is right. A deep water driller. Now, why are you looking? Why do you like RIG? What is your reason for picking this name or looking at this name?
Okay. The main reason I am looking is it is going down so much. Basically, your
electricity usage at your home. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Because it's gone down so much? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's going so much. I'm thinking maybe people don't want to buy. Maybe I want to start looking to that. Is it an opportunity to buy?
So you're trying to be a contrarian.
I'm looking for looking at 2-3 years of horizon, not like making money in next 1 or 2 months. I'm looking at 2 to 3 years.
Okay. I think then this is probably a good buying opportunity. I do like RIG down here. It is very cheap. It's all going to depend on oil prices, though. If oil prices continue to go down, this will continue to go down. So it's really all depends on what your outlook for oil prices are. Now, oil prices right now are in the high 40s, and really that makes the fracking and shale oil uneconomical in most regions of the country, and which is the cause of the oversupply, the main cause of the oversupply in the global oil market. And in the short term, that oversupply could persist. But over the long term, I think you're looking at oil in the $60 to $70 range over the medium to long term. So I think oil will eventually recover, and RIG should recover as well. So I like it. There's still a lot of risk in the name, a lot of risk, but it is very cheap. So if you're looking at a longer time horizon, then I think pick it up. But understand, this is at 16 now. It could go down to 12, 10, even in the high single digits. So if you are prepared for that, then go ahead. But understand that is a possibility. Maybe not a probability, but a possibility.
Okay. And I just, in extent to that one, I want how to invest in that. Suppose if I have $1,000.
Well, you'd have to open up a brokerage account and deposit that $1,000 and go and buy it, whether it's through an online platform or maybe a broker will do it for you. So that's what you got to do. You got to go open a brokerage account. Thanks for the call, Nag. Now, you've heard us talking about, actually, I don't have time for all of that. We got to go to a break. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Distribution of our podcast is made possible by KPP Financial. And one way to get a handle on investment risk is to understand how much you're taking. Here's a handy tool that can help you figure that out. It's easy to use. It's a risk analysis tool on investtalk.com. And by answering just a handful of questions, it can tell you how much risk you're comfortable with. Try it. It's free. You can do it right now on investtalk.com.
Let's go to Rob in Pleasanton. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing good, Justin. How are you?
Doing good. What can I do for you?
Yeah, actually, I have a question about the MNKD, Mankind.
Okay.
I want your views on their latest approval drug and their tie-up with the company who is going to market them, who are leaders in diabetes. Uh-huh. And the third question I have along that is their Technosphere platform. How do you view that?
Say that last, what was the technical what?
The Technosphere platform they have got, which changes the way you take the drugs, inhaling the drugs rather than taking the insulin and all.
Yeah.
So I see an application in a lot of other areas.
Yeah.
So what's your view on?
Well, you know, this is Mankind, and what they do is they develop treatments for cancer. That's a part of their business, but mainly it's they create inhalable diabetes treatment that allows people to take basically insulin from an inhaler instead of injecting it. Right? Right, Rob?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, and they partner with Sanofi. Which is the big drug company, to help market the company or market their drug. And it was approved middle of last year, and you saw a big spike in the shares from about $4 to the low to a high of 11. Now you're down to $5.78. So I like that it's backtracked all that. You know, you got rid of the froth and the excitement over it, and you know, it's back down to some normal levels, I would say. You know, this one's hard to really project because of the complexity of this new type of drug. And I do agree there's a lot of other potential applications for inhalable drugs. Now, I don't know enough about this space to really say whether that's going to catch on or not. What do you know about it?
A couple of things which I was doing my research, and I found that one is that right now the tie-up they have got with this marketing company, that is kind of 35% and 65%. So 35% is what Mankind will get. So that doesn't seem appealing. Mm-hmm. But what I'm hearing is that, and it's not confirmed, but is that the platform itself has got application where companies like Pfizer and all, they are going to look into that and see whatever insulin-related drugs, they can be converted into inhaled. But the caution here, what I'm seeing is, depending on how good the first drug, which is for diabetes, does in the market. But in diabetes, what I have read is that it is similar to the insulin one. But what they do is that the drug directly injects into the lungs, and within, I think, 10 or 15 minutes, all the particles goes away, and it's very effective.
Yeah, that's what I know about it as well. It's actually inhaling the insulin is faster acting, and it has some positives to it, but there's also some safety concerns as well. So, you know, this is one of those names where they're not profitable, but they are becoming, they're losing less money. This year they're only supposed to lose 48 cents a share, 2014 only lose 48 cents a share, and 2015 only lose 29 cents a share. So they're still burning cash, but, you know, once this turns profitable, you know, the potential is huge. So this is another biotech name. It's, I don't want to say a lottery ticket, because they do have a drug. They do have a big partner in Sanofi. So there is a lot of potential, I think a lot more potential than most biotech drugs. But you have to understand the risks involved. I kind of like it, because I think over time this will be maybe not a dominant player in the marketplace, but I think it will be a viable player, where it's a decent percentage of the marketplace and of the insulin marketplace, and there's, like you said, other applications as well. So I like it. I like that it's come back down all the way from 11 down to less than six bucks. But understand, there's still a lot of risk, and if it breaks below $3.80, I would be out. I think this is, that means the story's over. It's done. Move on and find something else. But I like that it's backtracked to all that those gains from middle of last year, and I think it's a decent biotech name. Thanks, Rob. And before we close the hour, you can always see Steve's latest check updates posted right there on investtalk.com. I'm portfolio manager Justin Klein, and for Steve Peasley and everyone at KP Financial, thank you for listening, and let's do this again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.